It's Thursday evening. This is the Consciousness Shift.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Going to be that way.
She was late. Yes. I thought she took the day off.
Okay. It's 7 o'clock on Thursday, and this is the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. Nick is up in New York City. I'm down here in Lake Worth, Florida. With someone close by, our special guest this evening is Joni Ross, the astrologer, and we're going to play a little tune and get on into it. So give us a minute to set the mood here and play a little jazz. Okay, now if anybody can figure that one out, you've really got it going on. It's an old
cool,
but it has that Aries energy to it. No, Joni, I mean,
ready or not, yes.
Yeah, here we go.
That was a big noise from Winneka.
Are you an Aries too, Joni?
No, Scorpio.
Ah, okay.
You know what the best thing about Scorpios is? Dating a Scorpio is it feels so good when you're done. I don't really do astrology jokes, but I do like that one.
They say that Scorpios make the best astrologers, so.
If you're ready for it, yeah.
Yeah. That is not a joke. But anyways, Joni, welcome to the Consciousness Shift.
Thank you very much. I'm really glad to be here.
Tell me, how long have you been an astrologer?
I think the first professional reading was in 1992. So a little over 20 years.
Wow, yeah. That's nice. I can relate.
But a student, many lifetimes, I think.
You know, you can probably give us some very basic information about astrology that'll help people understand why it's got such great skill for them, offers them great tools of self-awareness and self-authority.
Well, astrology is really dealing with modalities or rates of shifting and elements, which is natural. So, you know, we live in the solar system and we're all connected to a certain consciousness in our time. And time has to do with everything. And when you're born, it's like a cosmic picture of the energy you have is your birth chart.
Yeah.
So it's something to be proud of, no matter how complicated. But sometimes having an astrologer really helps with sort of a self-endorsement. And it's just good to be able to talk from the inside out, which is the way I look at the charts.
So can I ask you, what kind of, I mean, now there are different types of readings that an astrologer can apply, different types of,
yeah.
So can you give us a little broad description of that?
Sure, sure. Well, there's, of course, horoscopes, natal astrology, that your birth chart and everything relative to your birth chart, the transits going on, the progressions, and all of these things really talk about how things are tension release, things that need to be resolved, talents, gifts, affiliations, all kinds of things you can talk about when you just look at the horoscope. And having a consultation is very helpful to people, different junctures in their life. Many people wind up mystically doing it around 29 when their first Saturn return.
Oh, yeah.
Some people come every 12 years for their Jupiter. And lots of people do it once a year for their solar return, which is a renewal. The solar energy, the sun is really one major part, but it's really a kind of a triad of what's really major in your personality. There's the sun, the moon, and your ascendant. So your solar energy is what you're doing as an individual, how you're individuating, and what you want to accomplish, and how you thrive. So, of course, your solar return around your birthday is a point of renewal. And when you have the solar return done, you can look at what is the main theme of that year and what you want to accomplish based on what you understand you're headed for. So it's very good to do. And then there's electional astrology, which I like to do as well, which helps people plan an event they're already committed to doing, taking a beneficial moment.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. Very helpful, especially opening a business, getting married, you know, an event, a party, anything really, a good date.
Yeah.
Depends what you want to do. You look at the
mm-hmm.
chart. But there's clearly times when it isn't good to plan important dates. And that's, and then astrologer could easily tell you that. Having said that, there's a reason for everything. So sometimes we're in those moments where what's really happening is not revealed yet.
Mm-hmm.
And like right now we're coming up to the new moon, so this is the dark moon. This is really the inner world moon right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this time of month, especially when I take space and respect it.
Mm-hmm.
As I bet you two, both of you understand that a lot, right?
Yeah.
The dark moon.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and
then there's old astrology, Hari astrology, which is asking a question, making a horoscope when the astrologer understands it, and being able to say yes or no. That's kind of a divination type of thing, but it's really the truth is in the moment, right? The truth is right in the moment we understand it. That's consciousness waking up, right? I like horror astrology.
Yeah.
But
nice.
There's a lot of ways
said.
To interpret it, so you can't... You know, I wanted to just say, the prediction part of it all is something... That means I don't give a lot of emphasis to wanting to predict anyone. I'm hoping that people don't want to be predictable.
Mm-hmm. It
right?
sounds more like, I think that maybe the healthiest way to go about it is, okay, where has my path been up until this point? Where do I feel like I am now? And what are some of the elements that are sort of making their way in right now, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But also, if you look at the natal chart, you can see that there's some major themes that will be
mm-hmm.
interwoven to all the junctures in your life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're in a place where you're feeling confused. But if you really look at the patterns, when things like the angles are hit or aspects, I don't know how much people know about astrology jargon, and you really don't need to know it, but the astrologer should. Right now, everything, there's so many planets in Aries, which is a cardinal sign.
Yeah.
So this isn't a time to say, I'll sit it out.
No, it's action.
It's really about, let me be ready to react if I have to in a good way so that I handle mm-hmm. things well. But more than that, let me listen to my impulse and take action.
Wow, that's amazing. Because I'm an Aries, and I just had my birthday. And
happy birthday.
And
yeah.
Thank you. And I definitely, for the last few days, it's been all about, all right, what do I want to do, and let's just do that. And that, and this coming after a time of at least 4 to 6 months of really looking at, why don't I just get up and do what my impulse and follow my bliss? Why don't I do that? So it's a very new thing for me to step into in the last few days. So everything you're saying makes perfect sense.
Well, there has been a little bit of an influence on all the areas, especially born in this lower half of the mm-hmm. earlier part, Pluto.
There you
and,
go.
You know, I'm very. I really love Pluto, even though it was demoted to a dwarf.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I know.
I am still very much into the Pluto concept of evolutionary need. And with Pluto coming into Aries in the sign of Capricorn, which has to do with discipline and regulations and having to conform sometimes, coming to Aries, it's really tough.
Mm.
Even the courageous Aries get a little scared.
Mm-hmm.
But you're scaring yourself, of course, because it's just energy.
Mm-hmm.
But now that... all these planets are moving to the later degrees. They've already made that square to Pluto. And I guess take whatever that was the last couple of months and release it.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy now.
Mm-hmm.
That's Saturn, really the important.
Saturn is in Scorpio right now, isn't it, Joni?
It's in Scorpio. It's retrograde, which means it's affecting our inner world even more than the outer world.
Is it like being tested? Are we like being self? We're initiating tests for ourselves to get through our own challenges.
I think that describes our life incarnations.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's why Saturn is such an important part of our reality, because it does, out of all the reality, all the Earth signs are reality, and Saturn certainly is a reality planet. But there is a point to it. There's a point to growing and learning and sharing and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, if you don't have any lessons, what do you have to offer in terms of helping anyone?
Sure.
But back to Pluto. Pluto and Saturn are in each other's signs by rulership. So they're really connected right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, Saturn used to be the most outer planet because they couldn't see the outer planets.
Right.
And Saturn really had a lot of power. And in the Jyotish astrology or the Indian astrology, they still see Saturn as the major player. But with Pluto and Saturn making this, it's not a disharmonious aspect. It's making a sextile, which means that the energy can flow. It just needs a little motivation. But they're in each other's signs, so they have to agree. So, yeah, the world is going through a lot of having to wait and having to feel freaked out.
That's awesome.
Don't you think? I mean, that's how I see. I mean, almost everyone I'm talking to is going through some version of that.
Yeah.
There's great change going on. We have been, when I asked you the beginning how long you've been doing this, and you said since 92. In 91, and 92 is when I found my pathway. And it's it's funny, not funny, haha, it's funny, kind of crazy, because that's also as harmonic convergence, and that was all about alignment too.
Yes.
Kicking in, and folks were going through huge challenge at that moment, and it was kicking us into all of the years we've spent coming up to this consciousness shift, this new world, this new age.
New age, a fixed age. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very big deal
that
we're going into a fixed age. That's why the Earth is really responding. It's appropriately responding to clear itself, too, because it always does in a fixed age.
Yes. We'll expand on that. Let folks know fixed sign.
Okay, the fixed signs.
Yeah.
Everybody knows this is the dawning of the age. The age of Aquarius. And I happen to have the moon in Aquarius, and I love every Aquarian out there. But no one understands Aquarians very well.
I always said
Aquarians, if aliens were going to come in on any sign, they would come in on Aquarius, because they always seem to have this connection with the mothership. They get the memo. They're like, oh, you didn't get the memo? Well, I got the memo.
Well, I think Aquarians sense a utopian existence where everything works perfectly on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, you know, and the fact is they want to share it with people, but people really don't know what they're talking about sometimes. But we find amazing humanitarians that have the sign of Aquarius.
Yes.
But if you know, Aquarius is co-ruled by Saturn. So you have Aquarians that are extreme progressives, and then you have reactionary progressives, which is kind of funny, right? My uncle was like that. He was proud of the fact he could live on $3 a day. He loved that.
Mm-hmm.
He was so extreme, I just thought he was amazing. Anyway, the opposite of Aquarius is Leo, and Leo is the sign of the sun. So Leos have to have healthy egos. And Aquarians say, please, why do you need such a big ego? That's, you know, we're all special. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the polarity of the this kind of fixed energy. But we need fixed energy, obviously, to stay on course. And then the other fixed signs, Scorpio, Taurus, are in the water and the earth element. So when you have a modality, you're going to have four elements in each one. And then there's the mutable. Mutable is Pisces, Virgo, Gemini, Sagittarius. And these are the communicators. These are the people with the high, strong nervous systems.
Uh-oh.
They're really affected by environment, very much so. And they're changeable. Their rate of change can go slow or fast. So they're very chameleon. And then there's the cardinals. And they are the activators of change. So even though I'm a Scorpio and Nicole is Aries, we all have moon signs, and our moon is really how we feel about us. It really is the ego, in a sense.
Uh-oh.
Because it's how we feel about being us rather than just being somebody. The moon is all our unconscious memories. It rules everything about our habits, how we live, how we feel, everything. As women, you know, we really connect to that energy.
Yeah.
So the moon is a very strong identifier of who you are.
Yeah,
it is.
So also the reason I like doing the moon messages, which I've been doing since right before I moved down to Florida in 99, I think. The moon messages are a way for people to see this is the general thing that's happening to, quote-unquote, the people. But when it's hitting something in your chart, you're reacting in your own individual way. So we're always in this group, our society, and then we have our sub-story, which is us, and then we have the story that we aren't really conscious of. That's us too, right?
That's nice. I like the way you put it all together. It's nicely done.
Well, that's why I like astrology, Gwen? Because you don't have to discount anything. It's just another realm to look at.
Mm-hmm. What's yours, Gwen? What's your moon sign?
Leo.
Oh,
ah.
Leo. And what's your sun sign? I knew it one time, didn't I?
Sagittarius.
Excellent.
Well, I have that Libra over me, though.
I'm not sure what that means. It sounds exciting.
Libra is my ascendant.
Oh, okay. So can I talk about the ascendant for a moment?
Yeah.
The ascendant in our chart is kind of the window or the filter between us and everything outside us. So ascendant is your perspective. Or some people say it's your personality, but it's kind of your modus operandi. It's a very important energy in your chart. And it's also very important that people use their ascendant in the way they approach their life so that they're not taking on everything as them. Well, they can really make a distinction. This has to do with me. This has to do with something else. And, of course, the mutables, as I said, might have a little more of a challenge with that. Do you feel like you take on the world sometimes a little too much, Gwen? Because of being in this mutable Sagittarian sign?
You think? Probably so.
But the moon in Leo keeps you really stable, keeps you in, you know, in check with how you're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
I hope so. It also, I feel as though my moon is also sort of the author of my vanity in a lot of ways, too. My need for recognition sometimes, which as I get older, become, as they say, a crone or elder, I like to think that I'm using wisely or skillfully the gifts of that moon energy and not using so much of the, well, how come nobody's paying attention to me? You know?
Right. Yeah, you don't want to have to feel that because the solar Leos, the Leo sun signs, the way they get attention, and all Leos need attention and appreciation.
Yeah.
I would say appreciation almost more. But they need attention.
Mm-hmm.
So the Leo suns just start giving attention and they get it back. Moon in Leo takes much longer to figure that out.
Yeah, you got that.
Because you remember unconsciously when everyone had to pay attention to you because you were very important. Why isn't anybody remembering? I like to be called first, right? That kind of thing. But Moon in Leo is a powerful moon. It's a beautiful moon because just like you have an eclipse and you have the full moon and the sun, the earth coming between the sun and the moon, all of a sudden, the other energy is rawly exposed that was hidden before. This kind of thing.
Mm.
Leo understands people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, unless, of course, they're stuck feeling upset. That always kind of. I think the moon in Leo is a very powerful moon enabling people to like themselves.
Mm.
I think you're right.
Wow.
I do think it takes time to grow into, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's another part of all of these wonderful aspects and influences and also coming to the understanding that everything, even though it's subtle, is always magnetically pulling and adjusting. People don't get that our bodies help us, you know.
And it's always balanced, aren't we? I mean, there's always checks and balances in our chart. We have our strengths. We have our things that we're going to be working on for an entire lifetime. That's really something that's deep within us that wants to learn something. And then we have these other things that we can get fairly quickly. It's just the time for it.
Well, that's one of the reasons I was attracted to astrology, because I just wanted to figure out why even trying to change. First of all, I didn't want to change. I wanted to drop out. But why, even when I wanted to change, it seemed almost impossible? And was it okay? And I just wasn't getting the answer from my world. And astrology was such a great study for me of my own life. I call myself the narcissistic bodhisattva.
Nice.
And I was able to help many people because of the agony I went through to try to figure out, is it okay that personal freedom is the most important thing in my life?
Yeah. That sounds a bit like Chiron to me.
Absolutely. Actually, I wanted to, you asked me what I want to talk about. I wanted to talk about Chiron as well.
Oh, wow. Cool.
I'm sure if we did all our horoscopes and looked at them, we would see prominent Chirons. I know mine is very strongly aspected. Chiron right now is conjunct or together with the planet Neptune.
Yeah.
In Neptune's own sign Pisces. And this is a big deal when an outer planet, which takes almost 200 years to make a revolution of the sun, is in its own sign.
Yeah.
And Chiron being in Pisces right now, you know, Chiron, one thing Chiron represents is the Amazonian woman, the woman that stands up and fights in life.
Mm-hmm.
Also the healer, also the wounded healer, many, many things. Have you looked into Chiron a lot, Gwen?
You know, one of my mentors in my path, and great lady, Grandmother Sky, is Barbara Hand Clow. And
I love her book.
I read The Liquid Light of Sex, and I began to awaken to the enormous aspects of astrology. And I've studied what I've needed to study in order as an herbalist, as a blender, and through different cultural traditions, what I needed to know, but I'm no astrologer, and I'm always fascinated by astrologers who give me so much information. But Chiron, I have always heard, you know, I understand the wounded warrior and self-healing aspect of Chiron, but Joni, I've never heard the Amazonian woman.
It's a very strong emphasis in some very progressive women.
It sounds, boy, it just, when you said that, my ears perked right up, you know?
Yeah,
well, sometimes there's a loneliness. Sure. Sometimes there's a loneliness in Chiron, I think, too, because of mission.
Yeah.
Because of being an example, because you don't really feel the confidence where you have your Chiron. You just have this need to do it, to be it.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Oh,
I know. Getting all kinds of nails on their heads.
But you know, being so in the sign of Pisces,
did
you want to say something else about it?
Well, aren't many of us going through a Chiron return right now? I mean, generation.
If you're around 50, yes.
Yep.
So I had mine 7 years ago. And it's really, I think, I don't remember exactly what Barbara Hand Clow said about the Chiron return. But how I see it is a point of coming back to feeling like I can settle in a little rather than feel this need to keep searching for the truth for yourself in a way that you don't get the answer, really.
You know?
It's this discontentment kind of settles.
Yeah.
And sometimes people have very strong Chirons in their chart, and in that area of their life, it's hard. It's just they struggle with it. It doesn't seem to get fixed, but in spite of it, many, many, many great things can happen. But after the Chiron return, it just doesn't feel like it's burning anymore. It just doesn't have to be your suffering. So I think it's a really great end of the midlife crisis, the Chiron return.
I think that's where I've gotten to. I'm going to be 57, so that's basically I'm through it. Yes.
Yeah. So, but
I'm back at Saturn or something.
look at the work that you're doing. Chiron was the, you know, consummate medicine maker, herbalist.
Yes. I mean,
this is definitely the jurisdiction of Chiron to be gifted, to give remedies that affect the spirit and the body and everything at once. It's beautiful.
Ooh, nice. Very nice.
You know, everything, a lot of things get bad press because of the way we look. Because to me, you talk about the consciousness. The way we look at ourselves, the way we look at reality, it's really remedial. I'm not trying to put anybody down saying you are, but we're going into a new common sense.
Yes, we are.
Now, that's going to work a little better for our wisdom.
Hallelujah.
Well, patriarchy, it seems to me that patriarchy, which is what Pisces, this age of belief, has been a lot about. It's been about our emotions. And using our emotions to become self-aware, and now we're being thrust into a new age. I mean, it is a very exciting time to be alive, you know. And we're being thrust in, and it's, I don't think it's going back towards matriarchy, although it needs to have that goddess essence, you know, come down and bring a balance. But we're bringing in this new consciousness that's about unity. And I'll use a word that's been on a lot of our lips lately, cooperation and collaboration with each other. And basically, at Harmonic Convergence, the big thing that especially Jose Arguez was trying to tell people was that there is this planetary consciousness coming that we have all got to shift into. And, you know, there's that old hermetic axiom, as above, so below. And I do think that, and you're the astrologer, you have a good grasp on those influences above us and their magnetic, you know, fields. There is that happening, that planetary consciousness from above. And the manifest of it below is what we are working with right at this very moment, this wonderful technology that connects us to so many. I mean, I've got friends all over the world.
That'd be great. Yeah, I mean, the word below doesn't always seem like a good connotation, but one good below can affect the above.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
if we live our life with a connection to everything, and yet really the dignity of being who we've chosen to be, even to be born at a time where there was going to be transition.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fears we have to help people kind of calm a little bit.
Yeah.
But the awareness, there's no accident that we came now.
Yeah.
And
no.
I don't know about you guys, but since the early 90s, when we really started talking a lot about these things, I feel like huge, huge awarenesses have shifted for me. Just
And children in the last two decades have been born with a larger portion of their brain working and a more multi-dimensional conscious awareness. Is that well put?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The third eye open. I mean, my nephew is a football player, a linebacker for Elmhurst College, a student who's studying in his junior year, but all his life, with his physical eyes, he has seen the spheres, and I've tried to teach him how to put the, you know, white light connection to him so he can see the essence of that spirit as they are. And it's fascinating to me that, you know, my third eye, my mind's eye, I will see, but I require so much confirmation. It's just part of what I do to, you know, be integritous with myself as far as my vision goes, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And my nephew, he knows it's there. He sees it with the eyeball, and he says, well, you know, Antoine, and there's, you know, the grandma mirrors right there type of thing. And
yeah. What year was he born?
91.
Okay. That's really interesting.
Aries.
I think that the kids that were born 90, 91, 92 are very interesting people.
How so?
Because there were big stellions all in masculine planets and then all in feminine.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And I think that that's another thing that's really happening is this whole gender identity.
Yes.
What is it? Metrosexual people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
trying
mm-hmm.
to figure out how to really use, you know, I think
both
generations
energy.
Before, women projected their Mars energy to the men that they liked or
mm-hmm.
had to have or were
yeah.
stuck with
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Instead
yeah,
of
so
instead
true.
Of feeling their own Mars energy, and you know, with this new moon coming up, there's a lot of planets in Aries.
Yes,
we should really empower our own Mars. Actually, if you don't empower it, you might wind up getting really pissed off.
Activating it that way. Seeing what happens when you
well,
when
just,
you
yeah, just letting energy move. Don't
mm-hmm.
don't let it turn
block
into
it.
Tension. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes, it's going to be 5:35 a.m. in Eastern Time.
Gotcha.
Can you talk a little bit about, like, what's going on now? Because it's funny, you're talking about all this Aries energy, which makes total sense. I was just talking to my roommate last night, and he said, I just feel so excited, and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like something's going to happen, but I don't know what to do with this energy. So is there, like, what's going on right now?
Well, we've just come out of a really challenging, very challenging energy with the, when was it, during that Mercury retrograde period and Uranus and Mars being conjunct in the last full moon, and just a lot of
challenge.
A little too much energy. Yeah, a lot. I think people were just getting very upset. And quite impatient.
Yes.
And wanting to quit or wanting to change and what's going on and da da da. So, you know,
yeah.
Things can be time. You know, when anger's good, if it has to do with something that needs to be addressed, good information.
Mm-hmm.
But when it lingers or it's mm-hmm. compounded, it really gets toxic. So
mm-hmm.
we all should probably consider, Joni, talking to myself, to really detox a little bit right now. Just breathe out and, you know, give your body a chance to release some of this tension we've had last year.
Mm-hmm.
And
great.
I mean, I love the music you put, you know, it's a good time to do some drumming. And if you play guitar, even better.
Well, I think that the drumming right now, there are a lot of drumming circles out there. There always have been, but they are getting more and more of them have popped up. And I have to tell you, I know for a fact, because it's my experience, and of course it comes out as opinion, but the drumming that's going on and all of the recording artists and all of the music that's beginning to get played by groups that are dedicated to connecting with spirit. You know, I mean, do you know how many new fusion Native American bands there are out there? God, they're great.
I
and
love that kind
drumming,
of sound.
We had 2 weeks ago, we had Tuatha Dé on, and they're a Celtically anchored, a Celtic anchored band, yet they play with like what is it, Spiral Rhythm, and they're going to be working with Wendy Wolfe, who's also Celtic. The Spiral Rhythm is more Caribbean, and all of these drums I think are shattering the curtains between dimensions, if you will. They're opening the way,
right.
And it's the drums have a lot to do with it.
Yes, and rhythm. Rhythm itself, that we need to feel rhythm.
Yes. Yeah.
And experiencing it. You know, I do a lot of chanting. That's my spiritual practice. And I regulate my heart with the chanting. If I, you know, I really, because I'm Sagittarius rising, a little high strung, and you know, just to be in the moment, and then allow yourself to be free within yourself, because that's the truth. The being stuck is a delusion.
Yeah,
and we have to break it. So I would suggest to everyone to give themselves a little space to begin this new moon with joy and permission to move. And really,
wow.
You know, go drum.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to the beach over here in Lake Worth?
The drumming, the best drumming circle I know about is still going on down in Deerfield.
Oh, okay. I've been to that years ago.
Yeah, the old no trespassing. We used to bring white sage and sweetgrass to burn at them. I've had a few here in my backyard, you know, on certain cross.
It's a great night to do a fire pit.
Yeah.
Because fire. You girls are very fiery, too. Yeah, fire is a wonderful way to release and forgive and let go and move, you know, be free. It's a very important
element.
It's a very important call to yourself.
Yeah.
Joni, where are you and how can people find you? Maybe we can put that in
Thank you. I'm in Delray Beach, kind of Middle West Delray Beach, and people can find me on Facebook, Joni Ross Astrologer. I spell it like Joni Mitchell, one of my favorite singers.
Oh, yeah.
And also, Astro, Joni Ross Astrologer at WordPress. Is it WordPress.com? The blog. And people are welcome to ask a question or receive my moon messages, which I offer to people a copy of their horoscope, which you might not be able to interpret that, but also where the lunations are going to be in your horoscope, what area of your life is affected by that lunar cycle that month, or if it's an eclipse, it's 6 months, 3 months, you know, depending on what's going on. And it's really, you know, and also I tell people how that zodiacal energy functions in their life in terms of what house it's in and what sign it's in. So people can start to do the synthesis by themselves. Because I think astrology is just a way to look at life and get good information, not to tell you who you are. You know who you are, but everybody gets a little fluttery sometimes.
Sometimes explaining what's happening.
Yeah, so how do I just say, okay, this stuff does make me a little nervous, but I'm going to breathe, I'm going to this, and I'm going to that, and I'm going to get what I need from it. Because I'm not gonna deny who I am. I'm gonna, especially when we have big transits, we feel it goes on for a long time. It's just you get used to feeling like a little flipped out.
Yeah.
But it's really just a Pluto transit or a Saturn transit that is just causing you to be a little heavier than usual. But it's because you need to address your deep emotions. That's all.
Mm.
It's not a bad thing.
So, not at all.
No.
So what's a reading like with you? Like, if let's say I called you for an hour, like what's the script?
Well, you know, it's very good to be asked or to let an astrologer know what you're interested in that time. But I can talk about people's charts. I find charts so interesting, and there's lots of things to say about a basic understanding that this is the kind of experience they're probably dealing with, and talking a little bit about their chart and what it's like to be them. And then the transits that are going on right now, something like a Mercury transit so rapid, that's not something that would make a big impact in your life. But if you're having... if you're a Scorpio rising right now, you know, Saturn is going to go over your ascendant. This is something you want to be aware of, that it's very important that you take yourself seriously, because there's things you really want to develop, and other than, and you know, and things like that, where you want to understand what is the transit about and what is the opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to miss your opportunity. So I think going for, I tried to talk about things like this, what's really important to notice so that you understand how to take advantage of your own growth and your victory and your victory. And, and so I think going to an astrologer is helpful. Talking to me, we get, every reading I do is really different, actually, because people are different.
Mm-hmm.
I love
like
to talk
snowflakes.
To people. What?
Like snowflakes.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if someone is born at the same time as someone else in the same day, same year, they're going to be very different, because the chart isn't a picture of your soul. It's a picture of this incarnation planetary energy. That's all. It doesn't define you. You are you. And when you have an environment that really likes that and likes you and you get supported, magnificent. And when you're always the odd one that everybody puts down, even amazing geniuses have felt like failures. It's crazy. So I think we have to empower ourselves.
It's geocentric information, correct?
Yes.
I've been reading here and there about cosmic or stellar astrological.
When you're talking about heliocentric, when the sun is sun-centered.
Yes. And then cosmic or stellar, and this is something, well, new to me, and I think it's something that, you know, commercially or what have you is new. Do you know what I'm talking about?
A cosmic astrology?
Yes, a stellar-based, not planetary, but stellar. And perhaps I'm being
More having to do with different objects and holes and constellations and everything, galaxies, all that?
Yes.
Stars.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It isn't, you know, for me, I'm very interested in consciousness as a human.
Practicality, okay.
Well,
yeah.
It's not that it's not only practical. You know, somebody can look at a bowl of tea leaves and they can tell you a lot of things about life, about your life. How is that possible?
It's true.
I look at the charts and I try to relate to someone's impression of their experience in life. And I try to figure out what is it like to be this? And then, of course, I'm very busy with this kind of astrology because it's so much to learn, so much to understand. Even, I'm not giving up Pluto because I've done so much studying on Pluto work, but I know there's astrologers that are just incredibly interested in so many more objects and how they affect us, and I think it's great. For me, I like personal reality, and one by one by one by one, and the understanding that we are in this unity called the universe.
Gosh.
And this, right? There's plenty of other places to be besides Earth, I'm sure, but we're here. So that's how I see it, because I can't get my head to blow any more than it does.
Oh, good. So now, if somebody wants to use the phone to call you, do you have a business number?
Yes. It's 561-330-4040.
That's pretty easy. 4040.
Yeah. And they can email me at Juoni, Juoni, moon message at AOL.
I have been for the last, I don't know, probably 2 years, I've been reposting your emails on my webpage or my Facebook page for Daughters of Isis.
That's great.
Grab the little picture, and then I post all of it down through, you know, how to get in touch with you for the reading. And what do you call it? You caught me last week. You're going, woohoo, there's me, but where's my info?
No, I just said how interesting.
Well, hey, look, you know, that's
I wasn't mad. I thought it was cute.
But there was no picture. And that kind of, because I actually didn't do the posting. My sister did. She was doing my little, you know, checklist of stuff. I
Wonderful.
Found a really great picture, though, to use with it. So it was, I think, a Libra picture, wasn't it? I'm not sure at this moment, but I'll tell you what, every month.
Right, it was the full moon in Libra.
Yeah, I every month I basically I post that, and I pay attention to the information you give. It's a wonderful overall. It
Thank
gives
you.
Me a flavor, and I would suggest that folks. How did I get on your mailing list? How do they get on your mailing list?
All they have to do is. They can go to Facebook and give me their email or email me at Juoni Moon Message. I also have the blog, but I'm not blogging very much. I'm planning to have lectures on the planetary lunations, the lunations full and new moon, which I'm going to invite people. I'm not going to charge people for this, so we can have a dialogue
mm-hmm.
on. These very important junctures in our month.
Yeah.
Because it is a point of culmination and renewal and release and all these other things. So if anybody does get in touch with me, I will let them know what we're going to have here at my place and also possibly online. I like the idea of doing that video thing. What did you call that?
Well, we use Google Hangouts.
Google Hangout. Love
right.
It.
Yeah. Now, up to nine people can participate, but you can also run it, others can go and observe, too, as many as want to, because it's in the Google Hangouts, unless you make it private. And folks can listen and hear what's going on with the nine people interacting in the group. So you're
wonderful. Oh, great.
Yeah. Now I do free workshops that way to bring people in and let them ask questions and get to know my bottles and what I'm up to. So it's a really great tool, and it's free.
I'm going to ask you more about it. And also,
yeah.
If anybody's interested, I teach astrology. They wound up being talks about consciousness and life as well. They're, you know, it's not dry. I'm not a cookbook astrologer. But it is good to learn the basic symbolism.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that you can relate to it. Because once we start mm-hmm. once we start getting the basic stuff, we start thinking in a more symbolic way and our minds open up.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize we do understand things we didn't realize we did, like how to trust our intuition.
It's very mm-hmm. Jungian. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, astrology is very therapeutic in a real, like you said, organic way.
Mm-hmm.
Every moment's a new lesson.
Yeah. That's really cool that you say about getting into what this person is going through. I always felt the same way when I would do readings as well as, you know, any kind of psychology to really see from the person's point of view. And I think if you can use these tools in such a way, either as an astrologer or a tarot card reader or anything where you can tap into the energies.
Yes.
You know, it's so helpful because then people, there's such a level of communication and understanding. And like you said, with the oneness, okay, we're all here on Earth. We all chose to be on Earth. You're also tapping into everyone's understanding a little more about our oneness. It's a beautiful
Absolutely.
Place.
Well, there's such a power in being heard, and there's such a power of dialogue. It really is transformative. So hopefully there's a dialogue during reading. So are you a tarot reader? Is that what you do?
No, I do runes and
wow,
I read palms for a long time. And the palm really was, it was a way for me to tap in. And it got to a point where I didn't really look at the lines so much. It was kind of like a map, a lot like an astrological chart.
Yes, yes. It's a visual stimulating your own understanding or your wisdom or your channel or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So is that what you do besides being a radio host?
No, it's just sort of something that I do sometimes when I meet people and it happens. It's just one of those things.
That's great.
And I learned around the same time, it's so interesting that both of you were talking about around 1991, 92, that was the same time I was in college and I picked up my first bag of runes and really started to understand palm reading, because it started with tarot and tarot and I didn't really understand each other. So I found, I just kept it moving and found, you know, what worked for me. So, and that was definitely the beginning of me understanding that there was something more than the world that you're looking at.
Right. There's a lot of ways to access information, and we have it inside us, the answers at least to our own life. It's inside us.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have this dialogue with someone who has an openness to you and an openness to, I would say, not the rational part of the brain, but the other side, it can be very, very, very cathartic and helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned how to
Absolutely.
Do most of those healing, most of those arts. I've read tarot cards all the years I've been an astrologer.
Mm. I love tarot. It's so funny because a lot of my friends do tarot, and I think that's part of it. I just want the others. I want tarot to be read. I don't want to have to read it.
No, you have to. You have to do what you feel attracted to. What you feel inclined.
Right.
Yeah.
It's about the symbolism and how you tap those archetypes. It really is. And there's so many tools that you can use to assist you in just tapping the archetypes. That's my job.
There was this book, Psychic New York, because originally I'm from New York, and I was in the book, and one of the things that this woman did, it was sort of like a zagat of readers in New York at that time. And she said wherever she went for different people, numerologists, palm readers, psychics, astrologers, that people were giving her the same, kind of the same information. And there really is a law of correspondence where truth is revealed in so many forms. It's just very important that people don't give away their power of who they are to someone outside them.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that people never take advantage of someone who doesn't believe that they have a soul that's empowered with their own intention.
Yeah.
You know, and absolutely. this is why I have a hard time going to readers, because I don't, unless I know that someone is going to respect my my equilibrium, not to confuse me. I don't want to be confused. I try never to confuse people. Obviously, I speak a little fast like a lot of New Yorkers, but I'm open to questions. I love questions.
No, that's excellent. I've always said the same thing, and it's not like you're being a feeder reader. It's that you're doing your very best to establish the ground for someone who's looking basically for a mirror, if that's what they're truly coming for, you know?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I totally understand what you're saying, Joni.
Well, our negativity is so compelling, it's so enveloping sometimes that we forget the development we have in this very area and the victories we've had before. And if someone can remind you, that it's the same energy needed now as it was then. and you will be fine. Then people feel better. They do, and they go. I've seen people come out of a reading and break through because they just really decided.
Isn't that the wonderful, that's the path. When you see folks come out of a reading, even when there were things that were revealed that, you know, are going to be difficult to face, but still, the person who's counseling or interpreting a reading has the skill or the gift of heart enough to, you know, give the positive energy to this person more than a baseline of fear.
Of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's going to happen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
because
I wouldn't want anybody to tell.
Is there. It's in the moment. And the moment changes the minute of somebody walks away.
Mm-hmm. Empowerment.
Yeah. Life is about choices. And if you can leave a reading knowing, I have choices and it's up to me. Mm-hmm. This is when you're recentered.
Right.
But I know sometimes people, everyone's different and everyone is in a different place, especially if they don't do a spiritual practice or do a lot of self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, you have to speak to them differently than if someone is willing to do the work. And they can have a good reading.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's like talking to a freshman in college or a junior in college. It's a different conversation.
Right. You really have to find out who you're talking to, so that they get what they need from the reading.
And
I know not all readers think like that either. So.
Well, this is the new age, and there are changes. I was speaking to a good friend today on the phone, and we were discussing about the power of positive reinforcement and you know, cooperation with people instead of the isolation of, oh, my group doesn't think the way your group does. Instead of, you know, having that, being the bridge builder. And walking across the bridge. This is the great challenge right now. And I'm working with some really great people who are doing their very best. We're right now trying to put a network together that will give voice to folks and help them find their own to do the same things we are, so that we can wake more people up. Because
wonderful,
really,
great.
Right now,
great.
One's in the chat room and has been through the whole show, and she has, we're a little bit over our hour here, but I had scheduled more time, so that doesn't matter. But we have Kim G from AWOP Radio listening in tonight, and she finally found her moon. She actually had, I think, her first astrological or chart interpretation reading done for her recently, and her moon is in Capricorn.
Mm.
And she also made a wonderful observation. She said that what you were saying, it was like having a cosmic connection coach. I thought that,
I love
was,
it.
That was a pretty good metaphor.
I like that. Thank you, Kim. Can I say something about the moon in Capricorn?
Oh, certainly, please.
Well, you know, we have this Saturn-Pluto experience right now, which... Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. And so when you have the moon in Capricorn, you really know that there's things that are conditional. So emotions really should be, or well, should isn't a good word really, but emotions tend to be flowing without boundaries. Saturn is always about creating form and structure. So moon in Capricorn, I think, might have a little harder way to go in terms of finding their lightness and their joy. But when they get it, they really get it. And they are great, they're great at helping other people with that as well. But you like people that take things seriously when you have the moon in Capricorn.
Yeah, no, no.
Or any aspect with Saturn. I was looking at the horoscope of my radio debut with you, Gwen, and you, Nicole. And the moon is squaring Saturn almost exactly. By now it's already, it's probably still exact. And I was born with that. And I thought, this is really interesting. I wonder if I'm just going to feel like me on the radio.
Wow.
And I do. I just feel so comfortable with you.
That's awesome.
Getting them on the radio. But many times, because of the Saturn aspect to my moon and maybe moon in Capricorn, you do deal with issues of forming a long-term energy and what that involves and just the seriousness and maybe some inhibition. And I think inhibition is something that I really have learned to deal with, especially being a performer when I was young, just flipping out till I got on the stage, and then I would let it go, thank goodness. But I wonder what it's like for... is Kim... is her show sort of like this one, or is it more of the political show?
Kim is a progressive...
Okay.
What she does is AWOP Radio, and here's my plug for AWOP Radio.
Mm-hmm.
She does a Friday show at 2 p.m., and she basically has very interesting from musicians and talented people to folks who are innovative and politically challenging the system and trying to wake the world up right now. And
mm-hmm.
and crazy people like me who on one side are just, you know, I used to be called a liberal. Now I'm a radical because that's what they call you.
Well, congratulations.
You know, it's a leg up. I'm in the saddle. Plus, Kim said the most wonderful thing, and it's never so great as when you hear yourself explained and you get it. She said that because I do call myself the blender. She said that I blended. My spiritual path with what I do with my life in creating these bottles to cultural traditions and expressions of ancestors. And I also am, and I think of myself much like Miriam or Starhawk, I'm an activist politically because I'm bringing the message out to my community too, which I think we're all challenged to do anyways right now. And, these are the kinds of people that Kim brings on air and gives them the time to tell their stories or bring their issues to the light and wake the rest of us up. She does a damn fine job of it. And she's also one of the very founding members. In fact, I'd say that really it's Kim's baby to put together a network of independent folks like ourselves who are doing either radios, and we, Joni, it's folks that are going to be doing radio shows and they do blogs, or like Nicole has a video show online called the I Love Nicole Show. And,
that's great.
There's the YouTube vlogs, and there's all kinds of media. See, right now, what we're doing is some people would call it speaking truth to power. Others would say that we are, and I would too, is that we're looking to wake the world up to what isn't being said, what's being neglected by the media and those who would not have you understanding what's going on in your community and in your world. And so that's what we're gathering together and doing. And it includes progressive Democrats and liberals and people who are total socialists and all, but everyone is basically like-minded, good people who care about community and the planet. So
wonderful.
And this new world. And there's my plug for the Commons Project Network and all of us who are involved in it. And I also want to get in just this little snippet, too. Don't forget Sunday at 6 p.m., the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. And we're back to Joni Ross and astrology. So, Joni, please tell us one more time how folks can get in touch with you. I know your phone number is 561, your business number is 561-330-4040, correct?
Yes, thank you for sharing that.
And if they want to get you, and folks, this is a really wonderful newsletter. Every month you can find it up on the Daughters of Isis page on Facebook. I always post it, but it's best to get just the letter itself from Joni. And what is the email they contact with you so they can get on it?
They can get on it by just going to Facebook, Joni, J-O-N-I, Ross, R-O-S-S, Astrologer, or J-U-O-N-I, Moon Message, at AOL.com.
There you go.
That's where it comes out of, and hopefully it gets posted. There might be some changes coming up and some video podcasting, so people can join in. What I'm hoping to do is have a cosmic dialogue with people, because we are the people and we're experiencing things. So that's how you learn about astrology, by noticing your life.
There you go.
Can talk about the moon, and because the moon does, it affects us.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we go with the moon. So.
And you spoke about you're doing some free lectures. Please.
Yeah, I'm going to, anyone that's on my Facebook page will get to hear about it, and I'm sure I'll send you a link if we're up and running. I'm also planning for people that are in Palm Beach County, or if you want to take a drive to Palm Beach County, to come and have these discussions. Right around the full moon, we'll do the first one, and I'll let people know.
Great. That sounds like a good time. And, you were telling me before we got on the air, you're also a jazz singer?
Yes.
Are you still singing?
Yeah. Not very much, but I direct a chorus. We're not really doing jazz that much, and I have a few students, but I'm still a singer. You don't ever let that go, but
yeah,
I'm
a singer too. I can understand what you're saying.
I love music. I'm kind of in the genre that I sing. It's just pure pleasure and sentiment and. My, I don't see people paying very much for that these days. So you don't see me out much. But, I'm still a singer.
People give it away and they say, give me what you can. And people are making a living doing that, a better living than they would be if they were banging on a bunch of doors to get produced. I would bring to you Amanda from Dresden Doll. And say, look what she's done. Oh, my goodness. Are you familiar with the French wrench attitude of Amanda with Dresden Doll?
No.
I'll post a link on your page.
This is a singer?
Yes. She's fabulous.
Innovative. Oh, I'd love to hear her.
She's wonderful. And what she's done is she got tired of the... The original group is out of Boston. She got tired of the corporate status of the music industry and how it treats folks. So she basically, and Cyndi Lauper agreed with her. They opened for Cyndi Lauper on the tour before last. And then she went and did a TED Talks telling folks, this is what I did. She's an amazing performer and musician and writer, composer. She plays classic piano, but it's French wrench, you know what I mean? She, just like many artists are doing, she's put up her songs, and you can download them and then give her what you can.
A donation.
Uh-huh, and she's doing very well doing that.
Oh, really?
Shabbat Adea does the same thing. It works. because people who really appreciate the gift you're giving will give back. And not everyone will be able to, but the energy, you know, it's basic physics, you know, it's the reciprocity of energy. What you give is what is returned.
Very good. Very good.
So, yeah.
Looking forward to hearing her.
It's been wonderful to have you on, Joni. I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
I would love to.
And thank you so much for all your information and giving us a heads up on what's going on right now.
Sure. I hope to get to a drum circle with you two.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much, Joni.
Take care. Are we hanging up now?
Well, yeah, I'm going to remind everybody before we leave that to get in touch with Joni one more time. Her phone number is 561-330-4040. Can't miss that one. Please get in touch. And don't miss the I Love Nicole show over on YouTube. And we'll be here Sunday with Jack Jodell, and our guest is Brian Stetton, and we're going to be talking about how things are progressing out of the Occupy groups locally for people. And in 2 weeks, Sunday, an extended two-hour show with Sharif Foytlin, and we're going to, this is the month, anniversary month of the BP spill, and anybody who's been with us long enough knows I started Kirby Monsters to address the ongoing non-address by our government of the BP spill in the Gulf. And Sharif Foytlin is the activist who had mother, wife of an oil rig worker who made the claim, made the plea to the president to come down and please do something. And she has been working towards getting our environment cleaned up, getting the spill looked at, everything that's, because the southeast of this country is being sacrificed to corporate gods. And she's been walking her talk for now since, who was it, 2010? Is it that long? But this month is the anniversary of the Deepwater Horizon spill. And we're going to have Cherie on. Cherie is going to tell us her story from the moment she heard about it to where it's gone. She's been arrested twice now in front of the White House. The last time was Bobby Kennedy. She's been arrested, chaining herself with the rest of those wonderful activists against tar sands in Texas. She stands with so many good people. She's doing such a good job, and she's a voice of awakening. So please, don't miss that show. And thank you all for bearing with me as I gave that huge plug out.
Nice.
Joni, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
And Nick, thank you. For
Yeah, thank for you being, both.
For being here. This has been, I'm not going to play off of the song or anything. I guess we can just hang up now. This is cool. The Consciousness Shift on Thursday evenings on Here Be Monsters with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry, and tonight our wonderful guest was Joni Ross. And thank you again, Joni.
Talk to you soon.
Okie doke. And good night, folks.